You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The European Football Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, everyone. A warm welcome along to the European Football Podcast here with William Hill. I'm beginning to feel like a regular on this podcast. I'm not sure whether I'm enjoying it or not, but I feel like a regular. Dave Kellner here, alongside Alex Dunn, to preview a couple of games on the continents this weekend. And I will get Alex Dunn's ACCA 5 at the end of the podcast as well. A warm welcome also to the man sitting next to me. It is the aforementioned Alex Dunn, who's going to give us his best bets for the weekend's action. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hello, Dave. Hello, hello.
How are you?
Yeah,
are you well?
Right. Yeah.
Are you well?
I'm rejuvenated.
Your team in the UK, Newcastle United, promoted back to the Premier League. That must have been a joyous occasion.
It was a relief-full occasion, more than anything else. But yes, and obviously there's half a chance of sneaking the title this weekend as well. Just half a chance, that's all. Not enough to get too excited about. And let's be fair, it doesn't really matter.
That's
but it
the
does
point,
matter.
Does it matter to you?
Given the choice, I'd like to.
Yeah, but given the choice, you'd like to do a lot of things. But
well, that is true.
Which we won't go into on this podcast. But
which podcast is that?
We're going a different podcast.
Okay.
A different podcast. For a parallel universe.
Is that what you do on the golf?
Yeah. Is it a big deal? It's not a big deal, is it?
Well, do you remember who won last year?
No.
Burnley. Middlesbrough second. No one really remembers.
No, precisely.
It's not a big deal.
No.
I'd like to.
I think the expectation was so high at the beginning of the season.
Yes.
That maybe the media have made it feel like it's a bit of a letdown.
Possibly, but it's not. Anyway, this is European football.
It is, and we'll talk European football. We've got Barcelona versus Villarreal, first of all. Barcelona 1-6, the draw 7-1. Villarreal are 12-1 live on William Hill TV, and it's a Saturday 5:30 kickoff. Couple of enhanced odds offers. Luis Suarez to score, Barcelona to win, and both teams to score was 11-8. That's been enhanced to 6-4. And Cedric Bakambu to score and Villarreal to win was 20-1. That's been enhanced to 25-1. Barcelona leading in La Liga, but only on goal difference. Oh, sorry, the head-to-heads, isn't it? They're ahead on. Real Madrid back in second place, and these two are 10 points clear, but Real Madrid have that game in hand, so Barca need to win their remaining games just to have a sniff of the title.
Yeah, it's closer than it should be. Real Madrid should be home and host.
Yes.
And I know you can look at the table now and go, well, they're second. With that game in hand, you would think that they're going to go on and do it. But they've certainly made it interesting, Barcelona. I obviously have had a little bit of time off.
Mm.
But
we've not noticed.
Dave, there's no need for this. There's no need. I'm trying to be a professional here. I haven't had a chance to talk about El Clasico with anybody from work.
Oh, good, because I absolutely I enjoyed every single moment of it. I thought it was spectacular.
So good. And people,
and it got the finish it deserved as well, didn't it?
Well, people ham things up too much sometimes. This was a proper game that you could not stop watching.
Yeah.
If someone had come in and gone, Dave, I need to watch or whatever else is on. It was a Sunday night. What, Songs of Praise? If your flatmate had come in and got Songs of Praise, is that still on? I don't even.
I'm not sure. I think it is still a thing.
Might be a bit earlier.
Might be a bit earlier. Yeah.
Whatever's on a Sunday night. Can I watch that? You'd have fought them to keep watching.
Yep.
And I on the podcast tipped up Real Madrid or Real and both teams to score. Yet for some reason I didn't have a bet in the game. I must confess. Watched the game purely with a Barcelona hat on throughout, and Messi's just it was incredible. But what staggers me even more than that is since then Barca have played twice and won both of them very comfortably.
Yes.
And that's almost gone under the radar because these games are just as important. They're not just as important, that's wrong, but they are very important still. There's no point in beating Real Madrid and then slipping up like they had done beforehand. It seems like Barca are coming good. It's just whether it's too late.
I watched it with my dad, and you know when you're father and son, you kind of bond over sport sometimes. And he erupted into spontaneous applause when Lionel Messi scored, and it was the first time I thought he's never done that before. We were in the living room, and he jumped up, started clapping his hands. It was that sort of game.
Is that because you said he's never done that before? Is that because, to all intents and purposes, you are a massive disappointment to him?
That's exactly the reason.
It's this kind of podcast.
It's this kind of podcast.
Well, yeah. You joined us on the psychology hour here. So, Dave.
That actually hurts. I'm thinking about it now. No, it was a spectacular game of football. It got the finish it deserved from Lionel Messi. And, of course, in the week, it's all about Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi now, isn't it? Really, as far as top-class football. These two have separated themselves from the rest over the last decade.
Well, the thing is, you watch Messi have that performance in such a massive game, and you think he is the best. And then you watch the Champions League, and Cristiano Ronaldo takes apart a side single-handedly, and you just go, oh, yeah, he's good too.
And I like the fact that he's almost morphed into a number nine from a decade ago now, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
He's completely changed his game. I think Gary Neville's commented on this, that he's lost that yard of pace that he separated himself from other wingers earlier on in his career. And now he's become such a clinical goal scorer, Ronaldo, that he could maybe go on for 5, 6, 7 years.
Well, we're going to focus on Barca-Villarreal, which is the 5:30 game. But Real play after Barca, and they're away at Granada. Now, we're not even going to focus on this game because it's not a foregone conclusion. But Granada, without being disrespectful, are the worst side that has been in La Liga for 3 or 4 years now, and the fact they have not been relegated, they're not a Sunderland. That's maybe a bit harsh on Granada, but they're the perennial, how on earth have you managed to escape again?
Yes.
Well, it doesn't look like
it's not happening.
They're not going to this time because they're already down, and they've got Tony Adams. I still can't get over that video of him dancing. It's fantastic, yet at the same time, you think, well, you are in charge of those people.
It's the weird thing about Tony Adams being at Granada, and when he had his press conference, that unveiling, and he said, what we're going to do here is put more balls in the opponent's net than we're going to let in our net. And I thought, it's wise. It's quite basic, but it's wise.
Yeah.
And then we have... pillaged is probably the wrong word, but we've had Marco Silva come through from the Iberian Peninsula, Portugal and Spain, and we get a manager in him that is from the Mauricio Pochettino mould and has done exceptionally well, and we ship them Tony Adams. It doesn't seem fair, does it, really?
No, but... And it's been played and played, but Paul Merson would rather have Tony Adams...
He would.
There is an abundance of poor coaches in England, by the way. I know this. Let's not get too deep here.
No.
But you look at the names that are bandied around for every average job that goes. There's some poor, poor names in there. Mm. I'm not going to name anybody. I'm not going to single anyone out. Have a look for yourself. But there are some who should not still be in the running for jobs.
Mm. Yeah, anyway. I agree. On the Ronaldo Messi point of view, should we be comparing these very quickly? Should we be comparing these players? If you had to, which one is the better of the two?
Messi, just.
Yeah.
Just. Mm. It's what Ronaldo's done is incredible. If you go back to Ronaldo's debut against Bolton for Man United, and he was just a show pony.
Yes.
To harness that, the ability that he always had into what he has done is phenomenal. Messi's ability is unparalleled, as far as I'm concerned. His natural ability and the way that he can move the ball, basically, is phenomenal. So just Messi, just.
1-6 Barcelona to win this game. Is it going to be... Are they going to win like a 1-6 favourite should?
Yeah, I don't like 1-6 at all.
You think it's too short?
Well, you've got first against fifth, and there's only 18 points between them so far this season. I'd say 1-6 is maybe a bit disrespectful. Villarreal typically are pretty poor on the road. This season they've been okay. They've only lost four times, two of those being in the last four games at Las Palmas and at Alaves. They're not too bad, and defensively they've been very, very solid on the road. They've only let 10 goals in all season. And you look at what Barca have been doing to sides recently. You'd be not surprised at all if Barca were to knock 4, 5, 6 past them. But that's not what Villarreal have been about so far this season. Look, you know that Barca are likely to ship goals. That's just a fact. That they will attack and they've scored 104 goals so far this season, just in the league, which is phenomenal. But they're always good value to let one in. They've let in 33 in the 35 games so far. What struck me was how good a record Neymar had, particularly at home against Villarreal. In the last four games, I think I'm right in saying he scored in three and missed a penalty in another. And he got a brace in one of those games as well. I think I'm right in saying that. And obviously, he's been out of the side for a little while with his suspension. He's come back, and I think he will almost be long-term in these next few games. That'll be a good thing, that he's had that little break, that little rest. He's 10 to 11 any time. That's the way that I'd go in terms of a goal scorer, because, look, Messi is, he is what he is, but he's 4 to 9 to score any time. So I'm going to focus my... I'm going to have two bets in this game, or two recommendations. One is Neymar to score, 10 to 11.
Yes.
Quite simply, quite basic. Don't need to put it for Neymar to score, Barca to win, because the difference is negligible. Neymar anytime. But the one that I really like, and he's going to be the outright selection in this, is a Villarreal player.
Right.
Cedric Bakambu is a player I really like. He's got 10 goals this season, and I think the fact that he doesn't have more is probably to do with the fact that Villarreal have been fairly conservative in quite a few games this season. He's also not top class, but he's very good, and he's 5-2 any time, and I think Villarreal do score at some point here, and I think 5-2 is more than fair to take that chance with him, if you like. He's a player that I've got a lot of time for, and 5-2 is big.
Here's one for you if you're betting in play on this game. If you want to follow Alex in on Cedric Bakambu, you said he's got 10 goals this season. Mm. One of them has come in the first half. 9 of them have come in the second half. So if you're betting in play on this match, maybe have a look at him. If he's not performed well in the first half, could in the second half, and you'll get a big price on an anytime scorer in play here.
Absolutely. And he also got 2 in the last game that Villarreal played when they beat Sporting Gijón, and he got 2 on that occasion in the second half. Mm. So certainly something to look at. Look, let's be fair. Barca Villarreal is not a game for maximum stakes. It's a game to enjoy more than anything and hope that you see plenty of good attacking football. I think there will be plenty of goals. Although I've said that Villarreal don't ship too many. I say plenty of goals. I think Villarreal will score, but Barca will still win. So you're looking at maybe 2-1, 3-1, 4-1 potentially. But yeah, Bakambu 5-2 anytime. Makes appeal, for, as far as I'm concerned.
And Real Madrid have Granada, as you mentioned, Sevilla at home and Malaga away from home. Do you expect them to lift the title?
Yeah, they'll beat Granada. Sevilla at home's tricky, but
they can still drop a couple of points.
Yeah, and Malaga away is no shoo-in. It's interesting.
Hmm.
I wouldn't. When you look at Barca's fixtures, I mean, they've got this Villarreal game. Away at Las Palmas is not easy, but then at home to Eibar, and you'd think
they're going to collect 9 points, wouldn't you, from 9?
Yeah.
I can see Real Madrid picking up 10 from their 4 games left.
It's very likely, let's be fair. But look, I just think I'm going to be a Barca fan, basically, from now until the end of the season. That's sort of the gist. It's hard.
Why are you going to be a Barcelona fan?
I just like them. I always have.
Do you think that? You've just always, when you pick one,
they've always been two. I don't know why. It's probably Ronaldinho.
That leaning.
Yeah. But then at the same time, I don't dislike Real Madrid by any means, and I would have no qualms at all if they were to win the league. Look, it's just fantastic that you've got two sides at the peak of their powers at the same time. It's great.
Sunday 7:45, AC Milan versus Roma. Again, live on William Hill TV. If you're logged into your account with a positive betting balance, you can watch this game. At 9-4, AC Milan to win it. The draw 14-5 with Roma in the betting at 21-20. Roma second in the league. They are a full 9 points behind Juventus going into the weekend. AC Milan sixth. They need to pick up one spot to qualify for the Europa League, but they're 5 points behind Atalanta, who are in fifth. And AC Milan have been pretty disappointing recently, it has to be said. Only drew 1-1 away from home with Crotone in their most recent fixture. Prior to that, had been beaten by Empoli, and they needed that late show to get a point against Inter in the San Siro, the game before those two games I've just mentioned. So they've been a little bit patchy, AC Milan, to say the least.
Yeah, it's a unwritten rule of mine, and I've said it before on the podcast, that you can't trust AC Milan when they are favourites. If they're odds on, generally, I'm keen to steer clear. But when they are up against good sides, they're capable. And the 9-4 on them is just, well, quite simply, Dave, it's the way I'm going to go with this. Just on the outrights, AC Milan to win at 9-4. Roma sits seconds. You could look at the game and say, oh, there's not a great deal to play for. Well, AC Milan basically have to win all their games, or, yeah, pretty much, in order to sneak into the Europa League. Roma have basically only got to fight Napoli for whether they go into the Champions League at the group stages or the qualification stages.
Yes.
And you don't want to qualify if you don't have to. And it's not a case that it means more to one side than the other. I just think AC have been so poor of late. That is a reason for me to back them. Does that make sense to you?
No, not really.
Okay. They're so inconsistent, AC Milan, that you can never fully go, they're bad now. They're out of form.
Right, okay.
Push them away.
Yeah, I get you.
As soon as you begin to think that, they tend to just come round and go, hey, what are you doing? Come on, you, don't be silly. We were just messing with you. And then go and get a fantastic result. And then you'll back them the time after that and go, oh, they were fantastic that day. And then they'll let you down again. And it continues and continues until you dislike them, as I do. Roma are very, very solid. They are the second best side in the league. Or they have been this season. Napoli have disappointed me a bit, to be honest, although they did lose their best player, so that's going to happen. Roma away from home, okay, no great shakes. Worth taking on at the price that they are, basically. They're basically even money, and that's poor. So AC Milan, 9-4, will do quite nicely for me. I think there will be goals in the game as well. So I'd go overs on the goals, or AC and both teams to score, which is 7-2, which is also tempting. There's a load of players that I like for both sides. For AC, you're looking at the likes of Bakker and Deulofeu. Deulofeu, not so much for scoring. I just like watching him when he does play.
I thought he was going to be a superstar. But then always niggling in the back of my mind was, if he's going to be brilliant, why have Barcelona let him go to Everton? So that was always niggling in the back of my mind. And I don't think he's the sort of player Ronald Koeman would ever want in his side.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the thing. I think if he was going to be a world beater, then why 2 years ago was he playing alongside Darren Gibson?
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, get you.
I like him. That wasn't a bet, though.
No, was it a pop at Darren Gibson?
Yes, it was.
It was.
It definitely was.
Yeah,
yes.
I detected that.
Confirmed.
Yeah.
And in terms of Roma, it's obvious, but Dzeko anytime 17-20. I know I've tipped AC, but Dzeko's goal scoring has been phenomenal.
Joint top?
Yeah.
The list of goal scorers with Andrea Belotti up there, 25 goals this season.
I'll tell you what is incredible. I'll tell you what's incredible in just a second. I'm just going to wrap my thoughts up on this. So AC win, as far as I'm concerned. The 9-4 is pretty good, and I like AC and both teams to score at 7-2. There's the end of a clip. In Play Radio, you're not listening to this now. I've clipped it right there. That's the end of a clip. Podcast listeners, here's some bonus content for you. Have you seen...
They're getting it whether they like it or not, aren't they, as
the
well?
The golden... What? I don't even know. Is it Golden Shoe? Golden Shoe?
Golden Shoe. Is that what it's called in Italy?
No.
I thought you were going to say, is it called the European Golden Shoe?
Yes. This is
right, it. Okay. I don't think I've ever heard of that.
You must have done.
The European Golden Shoe.
The European Golden Shoe. No?
No, does Lionel Messi just get it every year?
Pretty much, yeah. But this is fascinating, okay? So it's based on... You get a...
I've never heard of this.
You get a coefficient based on what the quality of league that you are in. So, for example, this season, Edinson Cavani has scored 31 goals, but the French league's poor, so it's multiplied by 1.5.
Right.
And he gets an overall score of 46.5, et cetera, et cetera. So Messi, playing in one of the best leagues, his goals are multiplied by 2.
Right.
So 33 times 2 is 66.
Who judges how difficult the league is? Have you any idea? I'm catching you on the hop now. It must be some sort of UEFA ranking, is it?
A Sepp Blatter.
Yeah, probably.
If in doubt, Sepp Blatter. No, I honestly don't know. I don't know. But it's just fascinating, and I've seen this around Twitter over the last week or so. You look at the names in there, so Messi, Lewandowski, Aubameyang, Suarez, Belotti, who's had a fantastic season for Torino, and he's alongside Edin Dzeko.
Yeah.
Lukaku, Icardi, Cavani, they are the top 10, apart from number 2. Number 2 is Bas Dost. Now, whether you think that the Portuguese league should be ranked
just
on a par with Germany and Spain, etc.
And France ranked below the Portuguese league. It must be Sepp Blatter. It must be.
Anyway, Bastos is having a great season.
Yes.
It is the long and short of it, and he's actually in with a chance of nabbing it. Just interesting, I thought.
Definitely.
There you go.
And we went through those list of goal scorers in Italy, in Serie A, and you talked about Dzeko, Belotti, Gonzalo Higuain up there. That goal midweek.
It's lovely.
Oh, it is absolutely fantastic.
And he's not got much to do with it.
Why, no, why
it's a good
did,
finish.
Why but... did Dani Alves leave Barcelona? Or why did Barcelona like that? I missed that story completely because... I don't follow the European football scene as closely as you do, but every time I see Dani Alves play, I think, wow.
Well, you see,
he's fantastic.
I didn't think that.
Didn't you?
I thought he was a bit of a liability towards the end of his Barca career, but there's no doubting that he's been completely and utterly rejuvenated at Juve.
And he was obviously influential in that Gonzalo Higuain goal midweek.
Yes, absolutely. Well, both goals in midweek. It was a superb assist, but he... the way that Juve play as well really does lend itself to him. If you go back a few years when Juve started playing three at the back, their wing backs, if they had been better, they could have been absolutely phenomenal. And I say if they'd been better, that's meant in no disrespect to the likes of Lichtsteiner, who is the one that I'm basically trying not to disrespect there, because I do like him as a player. Mm. But Dani Alves in that role, in his pomp, would have been absolutely sensational. Three at the back's sexy again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I say again, was it ever sexy?
I don't think it was, but now Arsene Wenger's even seen
the light.
Teams playing three at the back and thought, I'm going to do that for a little bit. I've not changed in a decade.
I think it's because you don't get fullbacks anymore that are fullbacks. You get fullbacks that are wingers who are frustrated.
Yes.
Who would you say is the best left back, the best English left back?
Best English left back? Oh, I'm not sure. Who would you go with?
Okay, that wasn't a difficult question, Dave. I was just looking for you to say Danny Rose.
Danny Rose,
right?
Yeah.
Danny Rose was a winger at the start of his Tottenham career, and not an especially good one. He was okay. He did all right, and then he sort of filled in at left back for a few games, and they went, "Oh, okay, he's quite good." And then he's been on loan at Sunderland and played there, and then he's gone back to Spurs. And all of a sudden, you would have him down now as a defender, wouldn't you?
You wouldn't play
him on the wing. Put it that way.
No.
Or if you did, it would be in a very negative lineup.
Yeah. I can see him playing wing-back for England, though, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's an attacking full-back.
Yes.
Yeah. But you don't even think of him as being a winger anymore.
No, and I suppose the one that's been moulded in the last couple of years and who has had a terrific season, not English, but Antonio Valencia.
Oh, but again, people forget that he was a marauding right-winger when he signed.
Well, that's all... when he signed and when he played... He played for... probably 5-6 seasons, and you're thinking he's going to be an incredible winger.
Yeah,
you could never have envisaged him playing right back, and he's been, if not Manchester United's best player, in the top three.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is great. You see, we say we're going to talk about European football. What have we talked about on this? We've talked about
everything.
Right backs, left backs, how wingers are full backs. We've scratched on the surface of your relationship with your father. We're not going to go into that any further. That's another podcast.
I think I'm going to have to clip that bit out.
And, you know, we're having a whale of a time, aren't we, Dave? Enjoying ourselves.
We are enjoying ourselves. What is your bet for AC Milan versus Roma? I know the in-play radio listeners that have just got the small clips.
Yeah.
They will have already heard your selection, but just reiterate for the full podcast listeners, those bitter and loyal supporters that want to listen to 25 minutes of this.
Home win, 9-4.
Home win, 9-4.
Yes.
Because of their inconsistency.
Yeah, basically, it's not the best argument to make. I don't want to back Roma at 21-20 away from home when they've not been in fantastic form and they're up against a decent side.
And now I'm hoping that you're going to give me an ACCA 5 winner, because if you do put together an ACCA 5, they've got to be bigger than 1-5, haven't they, basically, the five selections?
They do.
And if they are, and one lets you down, you get your stake back as a free bet. So you tend to pick short prices here. And the thinking behind this is, well, two of them aren't going to lose at these sort of prices.
One might, maybe, but
we've got a good chance of getting all five.
That is the theory. And yes, it's a short price. And I'm not doing anything here that you could not do, listeners, basically. I'm using no insider knowledge, no expertise, really. I'm just picking big names in European leagues. Quite simply.
Yes.
Juventus at home to Torino, 1-2. Local derby, Juve great. they are, well, they've got the title already wrapped up, haven't they?
Yeah.
But Juve wanted to, fine. That's actually quite a good one or two, I would say. PSV away at Groningen. A little bit risky in that it's away from home. That's the only possible risk. If it was at PSV, they'd be sixes on and you wouldn't bat an eyelid. Feyenoord away at Excelsior. Big weekend in Holland. Feyenoords are flying. And away at Excelsior, they're 2-9. It's very short, but worth a look. Well, I say worth a look. Worth putting in the Acca 5. Benfica away at Rio Ave, similar comments applied. They're just a better side, and the fact that you're getting a decent price is because they're away from home. And they were the four that I really liked, and then I've had to delve a bit for the fifth. But Zenit St. Petersburg at home to Terek Grozny in Russia. My knowledge of the Russian league is not sparkling, Dave, but I do know that Zenit are very good, and they're very good at home. And again, I'm saying nothing here that nobody, that people don't know.
Mm.
But at the same time, I'm just making you aware that those five sides together comes to 4.41-1.
Yes.
And you've got the insurance of the Acca 5 on it. It's just worth a look. And you don't have to follow me in on that. You can go with your own and you can put English teams in, Scottish teams in, whatever you want. I'm not putting those in because it's a European podcast and I know England's in Europe. I had this debate with Sam Norris the other week. I napped Celtic against Rangers and he went, Scotland in Europe? I'm like, yes. So, come on, Sam. I know that, like, you know, and I know you're from a deprived area and you sometimes struggle to put cohesive sentences together, but for goodness sake.
Are you glad you got that off your chest?
I feel much better. Yeah. Thanks. Juve, PSV, Feyenoord, Benfica, Zenit, 4.4-1.
Thank you, Alex Dunn, for your company on this podcast. It's been my pleasure. It really has.
Thanks.
If you want to follow Alex on Twitter, at AlexDunn0307 is Alex's Twitter handle. You can follow myself at D Kellner. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the European Football Podcast. I do hope you've enjoyed it. Tell all your friends. Download this via iTunes as well. Catch us on audioboom.com by typing in William Hill. And someone will be back next week to do this podcast all over again, the European Football Podcast. So do join us then. And we'll speak again in the not-too-distant future. Enjoy your betting here with William Hill this weekend. And thank you for listening to the European Football Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.